afternoon, good evening, and good morning to those around the world. You're listening to Earth Changes TV Radio Hour. My name is Mitch Batras, and I am your host. Welcome to this live broadcast, Tuesday, October 7th. Yes, all right, and welcome to the California listeners. If you're in California and you're listening right now, I will assume that you have returned from the voting booth. Quite a dilemma going on over there. Politics, all politics. Many would suggest that it's simply a Republican ploy to gather position and seats for Republican seats in California. Republicans have not won California in several years, and there seems to be a lot of that going on. I know that's happening in Texas, so much so where five or nine of the Democratic Congress left town. That's the only way they could stop the new division of boundaries for voting was to leave town, and we're starting to see this kind of thing happen all over the place. I don't know how much it has to do with Gray Davis as it does getting a Republican in position. So I don't know how it's going to turn out. The only reason I mention this, folks, is because of my guest tonight. His name is Ian Lundgold. Many of you have heard him on the show several times, and we have been speaking time and time again of the significance of today's events, especially in the political arena and in our personal lives, of the challenges that we're going through, kind of a purging of truth and consciousness and integrity. And it does seem to be happening all over. Now, you might, folks, those of you that have been following Earth Changes TV for some time know that Ian and I have been speaking about this for several months, especially just prior to the invasion of Iraq and during and after. And you may recall that, you know, of course, Bush was untouchable at the time. And we were discussing issues of you know, of facing oneself, of truth finding its surface, if you will, and kind of a last desperate hold on repression that the grip is loosening. And sure enough, look what's happening with the Bubba Bush regime today. A far cry. I remember, I'll just briefly say this, folks. You know, I was one of the first to come out against the Bubba Bush regime and what he was doing, and I was not much unlike the Dixie Chicks. Matter of fact, one listener sent me an email and called me Mr. Dixie Chick, and I was simply speaking my truth, and most of you were, you know, kind of, we got to go get Saddam Hussein, the bad guy, we got to go annihilate Iraq because they bombed the World Trade Centers, and now we know Iraq had nothing to do with it. There is no connection between Iraq and 9/11. There's no connection generally related to the terrorist attack between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. But anyway, I could go on and on. And I guess I'm mentioning these kind of things now because of what's going on in California. All the lies and deception and what's really going on, what are the agendas? And I was very, very upset, for those of you who may have remembered this time, and really on the air, Ian Lundgold was basically giving me a counseling session because I was beside myself. I had never felt so powerless as what I was seeing unfolding, and I could not believe at least a mild majority, if not an even number, of people to be able to see what was going on. And sure enough, here we are several months later, almost nine months later, and sure enough, it's surfacing now. Okay, real briefly on the breaking news events, a meteor, a new one, this is the fourth one, folks, fourth meteor over West Australia creates sonic boom. Now, here's the connection, I think. At least, it's an item I would want to rule out. Many of you haven't noticed, but we've had four near-miss asteroids. Two of which were announced after the fact. In other words, it wasn't, here comes one. It was, did you see that one? Kind of a spooky thing. And there has been some chatter up on the amateur astronomer site that I monitor of a connection with Mars, perhaps Mars having its near Earth orbit of its own, I guess, or at least the closest it's been in several thousand years, and that some amateur astronomers had quoted that they had seen this same phenomena in 1815, where there was sporadic showers, if you will, that were not of regular, being monitored, such as the Leonid meteor shower and so forth. More on that as we move into this. A spectacular meteor streaked across the skies of southwest Western Australia overnight, creating a sonic boom as it broke the sound barrier and startling many country residents. This occurred near the wheat belt town of Darwin, which is about 110 miles northeast of Perth. Interesting. Delving into the liquid intrigue of Saturn's biggest moon, something on Titan, which is Saturn's largest moon, is very, very flat, possibly as flat as the surface of an ocean. Through an experiment involving radar on an interplanetary scale, astronomers have made the first observations that support a long-held suspicion that liquid oceans cover much of Titan. With the temperature of Titan estimated at minus 290 degrees Fahrenheit, the liquid cannot be water. Rather, scientists suspect hydrocarbons. And by the way, that's the same analogy of Mars ice cap, by the way, folks. Mount Vesuvius. Now, I know that you Edgar Cayce people, you must have gotten notice of this. Certainly, we've got many people's attention based on the emails I'm receiving. Mount Vesuvius poses imminent danger. This just came out 3 days ago. The Italian government believes Mount Vesuvius to be such an imminent threat, they are offering residents money to move. Hundreds of families who live on the slopes of the volcano Mount Vesuvius have decided to accept the government's offer of $35,000 each to move outside the eruption zone. Now, this is something I didn't know until I did some research, folks. Perhaps you knew this, but I did not. Did you know that Mount Vesuvius is part of a caldera just as Yellowstone is? It's called the Somma Caldera, S-O-M-M-A. This caldera formed about 34,000 years ago. This is much the same as North America's Yellowstone supervolcano. So, Mount Vesuvius, according to geologists, is part of a supervolcano much like Yellowstone, of which I did send several small quakes were occurring. I called it a small swarm. I believe there were 15, ranging from a 0.7 to a 2 magnitude on the Richter scale. It's hitting mainstream national and world news, and some of these reports are just coming out, and I tongue in cheek, I'm looking at these reports and going, my God, this is a month old, folks. Where have you been? Well, there's some of us who are more on top of things than others. The sun could be setting on solar warming center in Boulder. Boy, if you did not listen to my interview with Dr. Ernest Hildner, you must go do so. I'm going to talk a little bit about that with Ian I was so excited I called him in Denver, Colorado, where he was doing a workshop, and told him of this interview because of its significance. Now here we have, I would say, the top researcher in the world on space weather. I would also suggest that all researchers, if not most, if not all, and I'm not sure who wouldn't, gets their information, including me, from Dr. Hildner. He is the one with all the toys. He is the one that brings in the SOHO photographs. He is the one that has the telescopes that counts the sunspots. He is the one that gives geomagnetic storm alerts. He is the one that develops all the indexes, the electromagnetic flux index, the KP index, the Gauss index, all of them. They all filter through the Space Environment Center in Boulder, Colorado, of which Dr. Ernest Hildner is the director. He is a manager of NOAA and coordinates with NASA directly and the DOD, the Department of Defense. His organization is in danger of losing what they have. The funding, thanks to Bubba Bush with all this warmongering crap, we're having to cut off funds everywhere. And by the way, that's what's going on in California. All governors, don't take my word, folks. Ask your governor of your state of the challenges that your governor has been put in regarding funding and programs. It's all related to Bubba Bush and the regime and the Homeland Security and all this crap. But I divert. Okay, enough of that. Let me get right into my guest. His name is Ian Lundgold. Many, many people are discovering who Ian is. He's becoming very popular as a leading researcher of the Mayas, especially the Mayan calendar and its our understanding of it. He has a gift of making it palatable, something that we can understand, which I have always found to be very difficult. But Ian kind of helps move us along to best explain it and how it affects us today. He is also contributing author, artist, speaker, and the developer of the Mayan Calendar Conversion Codex. Ian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show, my friend, once again.
Hello, hello. I'm glad to be back.
Yes, Ian, you just returned from Denver, Colorado, where you facilitated a workshop. How did that go?
It went very well.
Excellent. What was the emphasis, or what did you focus on most? What were some of the things you covered in your workshop?
Well, one of the workshops was to go and meet with visionaries who are planning cities of the future based on sacred geometry. And they had me there to give some perspective on the timelines that all of this would be implemented.
Okay, now, Ian, one or two people might not know what sacred geometry is, and I'm not even sure if the Mayans, actually, they do. It just dawned on me. They don't call it sacred geometry. They have another name for it. They tend to lean towards describing it in the way of acupuncture points or energy points. Please, tell us about the sacred geometry.
Well, they do use sacred geometry. And as a matter of fact, there is a theoplasmic flow.
I'm having hold on just a second, Ian. I'm having trouble with reception. Is there anything on your end?
I'm on. How's this?
Better.
And how is that?
That is the best.
All righty.
Thank you.
Okay. Now there is a theoplasmic flow within the pyramids that has been discovered. And central chamber. Or
now, what pyramid are you speaking of?
The pyramids of all of the pyramids in the Yucatan.
Okay.
All of the Mayan pyramids. And there was a presenter there who was very versed in that. And his first name was Alberto, and his second name just blew out of my mind. But
is he from Guatemala?
He's from Central America.
Okay.
And so that was very interesting. But what this is about is gathering consciousness, gathering the people who have, for the last 20 years, felt themselves at the fringe, and gathering them together and providing a clear vision of how we will be living in the next few years. And it was quite dynamic.
When they were given their presentation, Ian, do they still feel that they're on the fringe? Were you able to share your experiences and how, very slowly perhaps, at least I feel, and I see you in the same position, Ian, that we're kind of creeping along away from the fringe, and I think we're getting right in there. What do you think?
Well, I think that we're gathering centrifugal force out here on the fringe. That's what I think.
Okay.
I think that people who have most of their attention on physical solutions and on physical problems, those people are fairly close to the center of our civilization. They are attached to physical, and even their own personal worth is measured most by what stuff they have. These folks are fully supported by our system. And then there are people who are less and less attached to the physical aspects of life and are more and more interested in what's beyond that. These people are more and more out a distance from the center. The people
now, Ian, do you mean that geographically or emotionally, consciously,
consciously.
Okay.
Now, the emotional part gets stressed all in between, but your consciousness is not necessarily attached to only physical, or it doesn't need to be looking at only physical. A lot of people's consciousness is obsessed with what it is that they have or what it is they may lose. The only thing you can't lose is your consciousness. That'll be with you everywhere, probably even after dead. So it's something, when people feel they're on the fringe, it's because they are not looking at the same things as most of society is looking at. Now, this is a great benefit. People who are close to the center are much more subject to gravity. And if there is anything that collapses in the center, like a black hole, these people are going to be the first ones sucked up. On the other hand, us out on the fringe have something called centrifugal force, which gives us more latitude, more kinds and types of solutions, even leaving the systems completely behind, which is what we're going through. That's the process that is actually happening. That's the migration of consciousness.
Interesting. Interesting analogy. I don't think I've heard you put it this way before.
Thank you. And there is so much that's now starting to come through. It's terribly exciting. I mean, I have so much to share with everyone. And right away, I want to apologize for the short amount of time that we'll have this evening. But there is an upcoming event in Phoenix, Arizona, at the Stone Pavilion at the Phoenix Zoo. And we're going to be doing an all-day event on October 25th.
October 25th, folks. And Ian, is there a contact phone number, or do you want to do it strictly by email? How can they get more information?
The phone number is Danielle Parker's phone number, and that is 480-363-8566.
One more time, Ian.
480-363-8566.
And folks, we'll repeat this at the end of the show. This is the phone number to contact if you're interested, and I would encourage you to do so, to go to this workshop. I mean, we really just scratched the surface here. Nothing like spending several hours to really get into it.
Some of you have seen the tapes. And thank you very much for watching those tapes, and thank you for buying those tapes, for watching those tapes, and for copying the tapes and sending them free to all of your friends. I want to thank you very much for that. This information is absolutely imperative. It gets out to everyone who is bearing consciousness right now. Anyone who has the slightest inclination needs to have more of an education of what's coming down, because it's coming down really, really fast.
Yes, it is. So fast that it's just damn uncomfortable sometimes, Ian.
Yes, it is. And I can assure you it's going to get a little bit more uncomfortable.
Oh, thank you.
For everybody. And only the understanding that this is a process, and being able to confirm that it's a predictable process by knowing the steps that are coming, and then seeing them come and pass. Only by doing that will people keep a real good grip on what they have.
But all right, you've whet our appetite now. What are some of those steps?
Well, right now, as we've explained in the past, what we're talking about basically, everybody, is that we have found the schedule of creation, or the schedule of the evolution of consciousness, within the Mayan calendar. And for the last few years, we've been detailing that. That's what I go and make presentations about, and that's what October 5th is about. October 25th is about. It's a laying out of all that we have discovered. Now, there are 13 sections to each level of creation or consciousness that have come about. The last cycle we are just coming to complete is called the power cycle. It is a planetary consciousness, but it's aimed at power, at developing power available for all of consciousness to use. Now, the whole of that planetary consciousness is a unitarian consciousness. That is like sharpening a pencil. You get it to a finer and finer and finer point of power concentrated as we get closer to the end. Does it sound familiar to anyone?
Not to me. Coming to a point of the sharpening of a pencil. Give me one more analogy.
Isn't Bush Baby just about the lead of the pencil?
Now that brings it home.
There you go. You see, power of the whole world is being further and further concentrated to a finer and finer point. All of it going through one individual. And it's not a healthy situation for everyone, but it is a natural one and totally dictated by the evolution of consciousness. Now that's the power structure and the power cycle. What we have entered since 1999, January of 1999, a new consciousness dawned, and that was the consciousness of ethics. So both the power is getting concentrated further and further, and through all of this is streaming the consciousness of ethics. All of the trouble that you see out in the world is where power is putting up resistance to ethics. And there's a big explosion that will continue to go on. But we are right now in the third day of this ethical consciousness.
Let me ask you something, Ian. In a parallel analogy,
yes,
this idea of coming to a point and this last word you used, explosion, to me, that sure seems like it could match what we're seeing in geomagnetic or in earth sciences such as earthquakes and volcanoes.
That's right. And all of the activity from the sun.
Yes.
Central power point. And he's getting much more intense and concentrated.
Yes.
But on Earth, what's happening here on Earth is that during the third day of any one of these cycles, what happens is the truth comes slamming forth. The absolute truth of your situation concerning your survival. And we go over great detail about this during the presentations. So what we're seeing right now is a torrent of truth. Not that you want to hear all of those truths, but the truth is pouring forth. In fact, the people say, well, I'm only hearing lies. I'm only hearing lies. The fact is, you know that they're lies. And that's the truth.
Yes.
The truth is coming out everywhere, including about, well, it's going to, the story is a little late, but the truth about why Arnold Schwarzenegger is being elected in California is that he's in bed with Enron.
What? There's an Enron connection?
Oh, God, yes. Kenny Lay and he had meetings in hotel rooms 2 weeks ago.
Come out in the Arizona News?
What's that?
Where did you get this information?
From the Internet and from a newspaper report. Yes. Well, it'll prove out in a very short order because Bustamante and Davis are currently in court demanding that the $9 billion was ripped off from Enron by Enron is repaid to California. We'll see whether California gets that money when Arnold Schwarzenegger is in office, won't we?
How far will this go, Ian? I know where you're going with this, and it's very uncomfortable for me to hear this, and in the sense of knowing what's unfolding. Again, I guess I'm slipping back into that powerlessness of observing and not being able to do anything about it. Help me get some power here. Where's all this going?
The best thing you can do is understand that it's going on. It's like a train wreck. You're not going to do any good standing on the tracks between the trains. You're not going to do any good riding on that power train. It's going to be better to go have a picnic on the side of a hill and watch it happen.
Oh my gosh. Are you really suggesting non-participation?
Absolutely. Not that you can get away from all of the effects, but there is no use resisting what everyone else around you is going to be resisting or proponing. Don't get yourself embroiled.
Well, can't we find a happy medium here, Ian? Because you know so much of what I write about, and of course my own internal affirmation. And that is what I suggest to so many people, and that is the quote that you've seen so many times in my articles, and that is, follow your truth, not mine or anyone else, and also speak your truth. So how can we stay in our integrity, speak our truth, and be passive? And maybe that's a misquote on my part, the word passive.
Rather than be passive, be preparing. That's the
okay.
job to do.
Okay, okay.
Paying attention to the squabbles is like paying attention to which is wrong, Democrat or Republican.
Right.
It's not going to get solved. We have a lot of work to do to get ourselves in a position to ride the rapid changes that are coming forward. Now, during the third day in every cycle, the truth comes out. During the third night, which are periods of application, that's when the truth gets applied. The last time that we were in the third night was when we had the Civil War.
Wow, that's a pretty dark picture.
Look around.
Yes, you know, we're not shooting and stabbing each other, at least not overtly, but... Yes, I can say that I don't believe I've ever witnessed Americans so polarized.
Well, that's exactly now. I told you that the planetary or power consciousness was a Unitarian consciousness. The ethical consciousness, which is moving in now,
yes,
is a dualistic consciousness. So everything is going to be torn completely apart down the middle. For full investigation. Everything.
How long does this period last?
Well, the third day is 360 days, and the third night is 360 days.
2 years.
Basically, but it's very important to understand that the Mayan calendar is not measuring anything by years. It's measuring it by 360-day periods. And this is a complete shift of consciousness from obvious physical evidence measuring the procedure of our civilization, and looking at another force that is active within the whole universe, which propels the conscious evolution. It's on a 360-day period. Very important to understand that.
I'm starting to get that picture, and again, I want to bring an analogy, a parallel analogy, of the flipping of the polls. Not the voting polls, folks. I'm talking about Earth's poles, north and south, the magnetic poles, flipping. We're talking about solar, the solar poles flipping, which I had Dr. Hindler on, which they have not done in their typical 11 and 22 year cycles. We found out very quickly that Dr. Hindler and NASA, I'm going to quote that again, and NASA, I'm talking about the top authorities at NASA, all agree now that they were wrong about cycle 23. It is not, I repeat, it is not a typical 11 or 22 year cycle. They believe it to be supersede that. And I used my words in the interview live. I said, Dr. Hindler, I can't believe I'm the one that's come up with these two words, and that is mega cycle. Do you agree that this could be a mega cycle? He affirmed the idea, Ian.
I got it. This is crunch time. Now, if you want to know when the poles are most likely to shift, is everybody out there interested in that?
Oh, yes.
According to everything that we have been able to discover, according to all of the scientific evidence that we can present over the last 16.4 billion years, and the pattern of this cycle, June 7th, of 2004 is the most likely day for those poles to shift.
Put that down in your calendars, folks. June 7. What kinds of things do you think will happen, Ian, both with the human, because I love the way you can size that up so well, but also the physical Earth as well. What kinds of things do you expect to unfold between now and then?
Horrible weather. Absolutely horrible weather. because of the mega cycle. And because of the general excitement of consciousness and the increased vibration of everything, things are getting much more fluid in all ways. And change is accelerating more and more. We are having more and more wild weather. So the weather is going to be bearing heavily on our personal lives and, of course, the economy, and then the effectiveness of the government. It's going to be a dramatic change during these next few months.
Ian, can I share briefly a personal story that is really troubling me, and I want to get your opinion on this? As difficult a time as I'm having with this rapid change, I'm aware of it, that puts me way ahead right off the bat, simply being aware of what's going on. Doesn't mean that it's still not challenging, it is. But this is what I'm watching happen, and it tears me up, Ian. I've been caring for my mother. She's getting up there in age. My father recently died, married over 50 years. She's well into her 70s, and it breaks my heart to see her suffer. Things are not what they used to be. Routine has changed. Rhythm has changed. And I'm thinking to myself, how many people in the world could be really suffering that simply don't understand? All they know is that there's too much change, and they're just having trouble coping.
I live in the center of that because I have solutions. I have things that I can explain that other people can take that information and go out and substantiate for themselves in any library on the internet, can go out and substantiate for themselves that this is absolutely true, and that there is absolutely a pattern of creation that has been through many tough times in the past and has come forward shining and shining and shining through. We're going to shine through again, but only with the understanding. Only by evolving will we continue.
It brings a tear to my eye, Ian, that I wish I could talk to my mother like that, and that she would have even the slightest assimilance of what I'm speaking of, but I get that glazed look whenever I even try to approach this, and I guess my journey is to let go, and I'm just having a really hard time. Any suggestions?
Honor.
Did you say honor?
Honor. Honor her experience. Honor her as the wellhead of all tradition and genetics and everything else that brought you forward so that you can continue and evolve into the next generation.
Wow.
Honor that process.
That's beautiful. I didn't even think of that. You're absolutely right. What do I owe you, a few thousand dollars by now with the, with the counseling you end up giving me live on the air? But you know, I do this for a reason, Ian, because based on the emails and the interactions I have, I know that thousands, really hundreds of thousands of people are going through the exact same thing or very similar thing that I'm going through, and that's why I like to bring it up.
Well, that's why I want to call out to everyone who is listening tonight, if you can at all get yourself to Phoenix, Arizona. We have 500 seats available. I think we sold 100 tickets so far. We've got room to put on this really nice event. And what's most important is that you go away from there bearing this information to your own communities.
Yes.
Bearing this information so that you can help people get a grip.
Folks, that's why I love having Ian on, because he brings it home for me. He personalizes it, and I sure hope that's what's coming through these microphones tonight, that it is personalizing it for you. It's not just the study of a Mayan calendar and the books you read and what the Mayans say. All that is extremely important. The message is there. But I always wanted to know, how do you apply it right here, right now? And how does it affect me personally? And that's what we're doing tonight, and that's what Ian will be doing in his workshops. Ian,
let me just mention the fourth day so that people aren't left with a bad taste, okay?
Okay.
We go through the third day. That's over December 9th. Then we go into the third night, and the third night is over on December 3rd of 2004. Okay, so it goes from December 9th of 2003 to December 3rd of 2004. Then we have the fourth day. Now, in every fourth day, the incoming consciousness becomes the dominant consciousness. In other words, in this case, ethics will dominate over power.
Do you promise?
The calendar promises. And I promise that those people who investigate this will find that out for themselves. It isn't up to me.
Yes, of course. Oh, boy. Folks, I guess it's really a journey about faith, isn't it? To be aware, to be conscious, to do your part, and to find perseverance. Perseverance. Perseverance in what? I'm going to suggest perseverance in principles. And I'm going to leave that up to each individual, what your principles are. Everybody follow your own truth. I have some principles, and sometimes I call them spiritual laws. And that's what governs me. How about you? Ian, what do you think of that idea?
Ethics is what you're talking about.
Ethics. There it is.
And integrity. I have a definition for ethics.
Yes.
And a definition for morals. Let's cover morals first, so there's no confusion. Morals are a blanket solution thrown over spontaneous situations. That would be like a little Palestinian boy meeting a Jewish boy in a playground could not play together. A spontaneous situation with a blanket solution thrown over it.
Okay.
That's, I mean, morals is our justification for being there in Iraq.
Yes.
And conquering those godless heathens.
Right.
And besides, they're standing on our oil.
Yeah, that's right. The nerve of those people.
We are totally morally justified to be there. Now, ethics. Ethics is spontaneous solutions to spontaneous situations. In other words, it comes straight from the heart. There is no figure, preamble, or what am I getting out of this? All those are moral judgments. This is just doing the right thing.
Wow. Well, doing the right thing. Now, you know, you get anybody from the any opposing points, any differing points, they would tell you that they feel they're doing the right thing.
Well, if they have to justify what they are doing,
yes,
by a belief or a tradition or some kind of a law, then they're already off base. If there is no reason to have to justify anything, they have committed an ethical act.
My gosh, Ian, do you realize what it takes to be able to, for the person that you're describing? The word humility comes to mind. Do you know how difficult humility is? No. Well, that's the negative connotation of just how difficult humility can be, but let me put a positive slant on it. The most powerful people I have ever met in my life are the most humble. I'm sometimes intimidated by them. They're so powerful inside because of their humility. Maslow called it, you may know, folks, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And he puts at the very top of his pyramid something called self-actualization. That's a person who knows who they are and where they're going. They need very little external stimulus or direction. They have a sense of knowingness. And they can be the most humble people in the world. They can be awfully extremely powerful people without saying a word. Ian, your thoughts?
You want to survive? The meek shall inherit the earth.
Wow, I think I've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah.
That's not in the Mayan calendar, is it?
No.
They probably put it a different way, but something similar?
But I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is that those people who would hold on to power, and the basic power is the ability to control, those people who need to have that as part of their consciousness are going to go as extinct as the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yes.
And all of those people who can divest themselves of those ego games, of that I have to be better than you.
Yes.
People get rid of that, you'll be just fine. And all of creation is going to force that to occur whether you want it to or not. Are you ready? Are you ready for the systems that you are so dependent upon to totally fail?
Oh my gosh. I don't know what to tell you, Ian. I guess part of me is wants to say yes. The other part of me is the frightened little kid that instead of jumping in the pool, I'm tippy-toeing in.
We have a real situation here. I mean, it's got a really, really happy ending.
Yes.
But if you are attached to this power system or dependent upon it, you are toast. And just hearing that, it's okay if you don't believe it. Just hearing that now, in another 2 months, you will know. It will start to dawn on you that you have been lied to from birth. about most everything.
I can't disagree with that in many ways.
Yeah, but ah, mera, ka means?
No.
Ah, one of the definitions of ah is non, like asymmetrical, right?
Yes.
Asymmetrical is not symmetrical. Mere means no mercy. Ka means sheep. So the word America means no mercy for the sheep. Anybody got a ba out there?
God, folks. You know, wow, Ian, you are really fired up tonight. Something got a hold of you, and it's like a toggle switch went off, and you're saying, look, folks, it's been fun. I've enjoyed all this chit-chat, but it's time to roll up our sleeves and get ready.
That's what this event in October is all about, the 25th. We are going to bring the house down with facts, figures, reports, graphics. Come on. We're ready to show you.
Wow, fascinating. You know what's going to help you along the way are the earth-changing events that are happening, unfolding right alongside of you, and I suppose that's no coincidence, is it?
Of course not. We were talking about these things that have already transpired a year ago.
Yes.
There is no mistake. I mean, the 16-billion-year string of coincidence might as well just can go on being coincidence, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Ian, I maybe this is a good time, if you think so. If not, let's go with your rhythm. And that is this thing that's occurring on November 7th or 8th or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
What's tell us what it is and what does it mean?
Okay, it's the Harmonic Concordance. The Harmonic Concordance is an apparition, or an alignment, actually, of the planets into a perfect Star of David. And this is all over the Internet. And if you just put in concordance, you'll come up with the web page and links that will give you more about it.
Now, is this an extenuation of... I remember 1987, I was dancing naked in the fields with all my hippie friends at the... Sufi retreat in the Manzano Mountains. That was, probably August of 1987, the Harmonic Convergence. Is this another stage of that?
Well, yeah, this time we'll be naked and much closer together.
I'm not sure what that means. Okay. You take it from there, Ian. I'm not going to touch that one.
Okay. What's actually happening here is that the alignment is a portal. It's not a door, though. It's not a door to walk through. It's a window. It's a window that people can view new consciousness through. Or, if you have the inclination, you can open this window and have a fresh breeze of consciousness waft over you. Now, as far as any method to open that window, yours is the only one that will work.
And you, when you say that, you're speaking to each individual.
Each individual out there listening. Your own decision, your own intent to open that window and receive is all that's necessary.
Folks, I want to let you in on a little something that I haven't mentioned. I called Ian almost immediately. I think it was that night or the next day after my interview with the Dr. Ernest Hildner. And one of the questions I asked him in our interview, and I approached it very carefully, was that of how NASA and NOAA and assorted government researchers accepted ancient text, ancient prophecy, so forth. To my surprise, Ernest said that him and his colleagues do in fact monitor such events, especially any astrological readings, the monitoring the sun of the sun, Egypt, speaking of Ra, the Mayan calendar, the Aztec calendar in particular, and he did stop short of a correlation today in this moment between what ancient text says and what science is saying. Now, I'm comfortable, I'm ready to take that leap, and I have publicly done so. They're a little more reserved, but they do acknowledge that they do monitor this stuff. In other words, folks, they're listening and watching more than we think they were. Ian?
Yes.
Scientifically.
I am impressed that they are being swept along with this wave of consciousness.
Yes, that's...
I'm impressed. I mean, first of all, these guys put themselves out as pioneers.
Yes.
In science and radical thinking. So they would be some of the first. You see, they're on the fringe, too. That's why you bump into them all the time.
You know, I never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. Yep, that's
so
true.
These guys are some of the first to actually get this enhanced, upgraded information as it comes through. We're just a little bit further out than them, that's all.
I don't even know if I'd say that. I'd just say it's different.
Yeah, well, we were getting it first.
Okay. All right, I'm on the edge of my seat, Ian. I have a feeling there's a lot of folks out there the same way. Tying in this this harmonic concordance.
Yes.
Now, let's clarify something. I know there was a bit of controversy, and I have had Jose Arguelles on the show a few times. I do like him, and I've certainly enjoyed what he had to say.
And I totally respect his work and what he did. Yes.
Yes. And some of the discord was coming from the actuality of the harmonic convergence being related to the Mayan calendar. Is there controversy with this one as also, or do you believe that? That in fact, at least in your research, that the Mayans have in some way spoke of this?
No.
No, okay.
I think it doesn't matter one twit. The Mayan calendar has never been measuring anything physical. It has only been measuring the rate, the flow, and the intent of creation itself. In other words, prime cause.
Yes.
All of the secondary effects, which are the creation of sound, light, planetary bodies, stars, all that's secondary.
Yes.
And that is more of a loose, kind of a floppy pattern.
Yes.
Rather than a precise one. In fact, when consciousness sends an intent into creation, it sends it on a precise day. When it occurs physically, is not precise. I mentioned this in about pregnancy.
Yes.
Pregnancy is a natural cycle. It's not, they're not all identical.
That's true.
And so the same thing with all processes in creation. There's an insemination point.
Yes.
And that actually comes about is a natural cycle.
That's true.
So all of these alignments are part of a natural cycle of unfolding within physicality. They have nothing to do with the actual timing of the Mayan calendar.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. So what do you expect? I mean, I did feel something, but you know, I had been fasting for 3 days. I was up in the Sufi retreat for, four of the 6 months that I stayed there. So, you know, I was on a spiritual high to begin with. So to me, that particular night was absolutely magical, and the days in and around it.
Yeah, and those little blue aspirins didn't hurt either.
No, that was another time. No, this was truly all in a real spiritual way.
Yeah,
is it something that a person would feel like experience in and around this date?
I believe so. Just as much as you, if you looked out the window, you would notice a new point of view. If you open the window, you will feel a breeze. Now I'm trying to put it out in kind of parable, I guess. A physical recognition that is going to be a spiritual one. It's going to be a consciousness experience to the degree that you participate. If you don't look out the window, you're not going to see what's out there.
Yes.
And the vast majority of the public is not even going to look.
Right.
So it's going to be a select few who actually take the time to actually do whatever it is that, I mean, just notice the time, okay, you looked out the window.
Right.
You actually do some sort of a meditation or pick up your favorite crystals or whatever it is you're going to do. If you do that with the intent of opening the window, you're going to get more of the experience. Just real simple. Now, this is just an opportunity to get another point of view that will help in the transitions that we're coming up on. Now, June 7th, on the other hand, is a whole nother situation. June 7th is the midnight of the third night of this titanic battle here between ethics and power. We're going to see absolutely astounding events.
That's not going to be the assassination of Bush, is it?
Oh, I don't think that they really want to get rid of that willing puppet.
No, I mean this kind of seriously, folks. I don't mean that in a half-hearted way. I'm saying that there's been predictions about this even before that he was nominated. And many, many people, Nostradamus-based and other psychic-type people, related to his chart or the timing of the presidency, that many people truly believe that Bush will never really walk out of office.
That's probably right. But what is going to happen here is that, you know, there's high noon is when the sun is the highest in the sky. And then it goes back down. At a midnight, it is the darkest of the night. And then you go out the other side. June 7th is the midnight of the third night. So it could, according to the schedule, this is a very intense period. June 8th, the very next day, that is, after we've hit bottom and bounced, the very next day is the Venus passage.
And what does that mean?
Well, everybody out there, think of whatever you know about Venus. Beauty, grace, honoring, integrity, openness of heart, purity, clarity, all of those things. All of those things are usually, our experience of that energy is usually a vague reflection. In other words, the sun shines out toward Venus in her orbit, and then that little bit of her energy comes toward us by reflection.
All right, folks.
A little dot.
What on earth could happen that would have such a climax in one day, and let's even say it was weeks, maybe even months in a build-up, and we all experienced it in its build-up, and then it climaxed in one night, and then to have such a relief the next day, what on earth could that be? I was thinking, well, volcano, earthquake, a major disaster, but no, there would be no relief the next day. Even the assassination of somebody, I don't think there would be relief the next day. The only thing I can think of, Ian, would be something like Jesus coming down on the cloud. I mean, my gosh, what could it be to have that much of a variance?
Let me look at you.
What?
A little bit. Venus, according to the Maya, is Quetzalcoatl. Quetzalcoatl is the incarnation of Christ in Central America. So June 8th, Venus passes between Earth and the Sun. And so every bit of Venus's energy is blasted at us by the sun.
Oh my God, Ian! Do you know what you just described? You just described the third letter of Fatima. Ian, are you there?
I'm in here, yeah.
Are you aware? Folks, the third letter of Fatima speaks of such revelation. And if you remember when the miracle occurred in Portugal, the sun, in the twinkling of an eye, the world stood still. In other words, a miracle occurred. And the third letter of Fatima talks about the warning and then the miracle to come after. And again, a miracle that everyone on earth would notice. I mean, something of that magnitude. What do you think? I'm just coming up with ideas of
think that the poles are going to shift on June 7th. And because of that, consciousness is going to have a decision to make. That is, each one of you listening and each one of you not listening are going to have a decision to make. Now, there is going to be a lot of physical problems to be dealing with about June 7th. A whole bunch. It would be easy, very easy, to keep your attention on just your own welfare. Physical welfare. On the other hand, there is an event happening which is not at all physical. Which one are you going to pay attention to all of your problems, or to a bathing of enlightenment?
Wow.
Someone else that I've heard about had to make such a decision, and he made it on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And folks, that's where we're going to have to end it. If that doesn't whet your appetite for another interview, nothing will. I know I'm literally sitting at the edge of my chair. Ian Lundgold will have a workshop in Saturday, October 25th in Phoenix, Arizona. Ian, could you give that phone number, please? Contact phone number for those that are interested.
Yes. Danielle Parker.
That's the person's name.
480-363-8566.
One more time, Ian, and we gotta run.
480-363-8566.
Okay, my friend, that's it. We're out of time. I will get this interview over to you as soon as I can, Ian, so you can put it up on your site. Folks, we're going to have this on our archive so you can listen to it, and hopefully many times as we just watch this unfold and unravel day by day.
Please come for more detail to bring back to your own communities.
You got it. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.
Take care. Ian Lundgold, folks, another one to put in the history books, very, very powerful. Thursday, day after tomorrow, Thursday, Joshua Shapiro, this interview will be live to Holland. We will be calling direct to Holland. It's going to be on the Crystal Skull. The Crystal Skull, that's Joshua Shapiro. October 14th, that's Tuesday, next Tuesday, October 14th. Well, we're going to talk directly to the guy who started all this stuff about the harmonic concordance. His name is Johnny Miracle. Oh, I probably butchered that. I have a direct link to his site on my site. He is the one, he's kind of like the Jose Arguelles of the harmonic concordance. I'll have him on October 14th. Then October 21st, I'm going to have Jim Mars on the show. And I'm also setting up a whole line of scientists direct from NASA and NOAA. A great balance, folks, that only Earth Changes TV can provide you. All right, I'm going to go turn on my TV and find out who the heck is winning this crazy thing in California. I have a feeling I'm going to turn on the TV and the Terminator is going to be there just groping somebody, I suppose. All right, this is Mitch Batchers for Earth Changes TV Radio Hour saying see you Thursday, same time, same channel.